Welcome to Refirement Life, the podcast for anyone navigating life transitions or planning to make life transitions to ensure your next years are your best years. Listen in for insightful, generous, and sometimes humorous conversation. It's time to get fired up with Christine Zamuda and Muge Wood, your hosts for this latest episode of Refirement Life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 59. This is Mastering of the Mind. I'm excited to introduce our listeners to a wonderful guest, Joe LaPietra. And Joe is a financial services industry leader. Joe is a National Mastery Agency award-winning managing partner. His successful track record in leading levels of revenue, business development, recruiting, retention, profitability, and compliance is well known in the industry. He's now using all those talents on a new mission that we'll talk about, Mastery of the Mind. Welcome, Joe.
Good morning, Christine. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you here.
This is exciting. I'm ready to roll.
Awesome. Well, let's talk first about, you know, what inspired you to leave a successful career in finance to establish this not-for-profit, and tell us about that mission.
Well, for those of you out there working, exhaustion, let me leave. So I spent, I went to Franklin and Marshall, Division III football school. I played quarterback in college. I was a captain. I would have played at a higher level, but nobody asked. Right. So still willing. Well, I maybe have some eligibility left, but the body, no way.
Well, I mean, you never know, Joe. Belichick is cold now as coach for North Carolina. So that could be an angle in your future. It's never over till it's over.
You know what? And thank you for that. Maybe I'm going to call coach, because he is one of my people that I read up about. Mm-hmm. About people that are not afraid to, number one, put a goal out. Number two, to set boundaries. Mm-hmm. Number three, to make it perfectly clear what the purpose is.
Yeah.
So he's on my list, and
yeah,
he's very, very inspirational to me.
Yeah. So many things, but he is afraid to smile.
Well, he's getting better, though. He's getting better.
You're right.
But the playing football was because I loved it. And I also, there was no delusion in my brain that I was going to make a living with sports. However, I chose to take all that I learned on the field and transfer it off the field, which is how I built and grew leading financial services agencies, you know, top 1% of the industry, as many as 400 reps, by taking those principles and applying them. Meaning what? How to communicate, how to manage time, how to get results through others, how to manage adversity. You know, straight up, when you play quarterback, and excuse my French, you get knocked on your ass a lot. And in life, you get knocked on your ass too. So, you know, the question is, whether or not you're not going to get knocked down. It sounds so simple, but what are you going to do next? Mm-hmm. The next play's over. Year end, like right now, Christine and Muge, I hated this time of year. Mm-hmm. However, it was the most productive time. Mm-hmm. Because it was, year end is December 31st.
Right.
And your record is set. Your legacy is set. Your numbers, you either make it or you don't. And so that's an example of, I've been doing what I call YUP meetings with the kids. It's called YEP, year end push. How these kids are coming to grips with, yes, year end is different. Yes, final exams are different. The lights are on. Everybody's judging you. There's pressure. Every minute counts. So all I've done with Mastery of the Mind is I've built this bridge curriculum between what these kids, and I'll call them kids, although it's expanding to grown-ups now because I'm working with, quote, grown-ups, a bridge curriculum of what they're learning academically. And I don't scare, I prepare these young adults for what's coming in the real world. Yeah. That was the inspiration for me to do this. So I took all my stuff that I've had over my career, and I'm a big, big proponent of journaling. Journaling for mental health, journaling is a form of meditation. Journaling is physically impossible to remember all the things you think about. Journaling is permanent. It's personal. It's intimate because it's you. It's also something that you could just reach back in. And if you need, like, you know, and I took all my journals from my whole career and just threw them in a room and started, well, this goes over here, this goes over here, this goes over here. And built these modules. And the modules, what do they include? They include communication, language, public speaking, how to dominate the first 4 seconds of a meeting, how to interview, how to follow up. I mean, Christine, you and I have talked about this, the sales cycle. Mm-hmm. These kids don't understand a sales cycle. Although yeah. life is about selling. I mean, mm-hmm. every profession is selling.
Right. It's all the life skills, the soft skills, and the not so soft skills that aren't taught academically, correct? Is that kind of a good way to sum it up?
Look, the more I get into this, the more I'm recognizing it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not being taught. You know, and you know, use if I'm working with girls lacrosse team. Okay, girls, if we make this mistake in a game, all right, maybe they score a goal on you. However, if you make this mistake in life, it's going to cost you money. It may cost you a promotion. It may cost you advancement. So why are we not dominating off the field? And the reason that I see it, Christine, is it's, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher arrives. It is not like these kids don't eat this up.
Mm-hmm.
When they're in my classes, you know, I will teach as many as 100 at a time or 20. It doesn't matter. They're all over it. And because it's a safe environment.
Yeah. How do they respond to the journaling aspect? I think that's interesting. I'm guessing that they're probably journaling in the digital form on their phones.
100%. Are they?
Yeah.
100%. That's the first question.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Lala. That's my name, Lala. My last name, La Pietra. Everybody laughs when I say Lala. The kids started calling me Lala. So Lala means learn, adapt, lead, achieve. So I give them the journal. And the first question is exactly what you said, Christine. Can I use my phone?
Mm-hmm. Of course. And can I post it on social media too while I'm at it, what I am thinking with some
or
pictures?
Can I just type in AI, develop yourself, and then boom, a bunch of things come up and they go, say, I got it. Well,
yep.
And my response is because I'm big on CBC. CBC stands for choices, benefits, consequences. So Coach Lala, can I use my phone? Christine, you can do whatever you want. I'm not here to babysit you. You can do whatever you want. And I get rid of the word need. Like when your mom and dad say you need to get good grades. If I'm you, I'm saying, no, I don't. I don't need to do anything. I want to do this. Now, then I go into what you said earlier. It is proven that good old-fashioned pen and paper is a form of meditation. It is more effective than, now, there are always one-offs. Kids have learning challenges, etc. This is mm-hmm. not universal, but when they start getting going on this, they can't stop. So what's really cool is when I'll do session one, we'll go over journaling, and then because I do these in groups. I don't come in there and they'll say, you know, I want you to teach my kids financial literacy. Great. How much time do you want to choose to invest? I'll give you 20 minutes. Like, forget it. It doesn't work that way. So we'll do 4 sessions on financial literacy. So now Christine was at session 1. She learned how to journal. Christine comes walking in session 2 with her journal in her hand, ready to roll. That's when I'm like, yes, like, like, here we go.
I think, Joe, that's amazing because I think the same thing applies to adults, too, in the sense that we can talk a lot. We can think a lot of things. But unless you put it down on paper, it is just not real almost. And then when you got that pen in hand with the paper, you're putting it down, you're like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe what I am saying or thinking is not what I should be doing or could be doing. And it just creates such a moment of reflection. One thing I'm curious is whether young or adult, what are the ways by which you find to really help people get it, like make it their own and turn it into a lifelong habit and practice so it goes beyond their time with you?
That's a good call, Mugay. And it doesn't make any difference to me how good the idea is unless you what? Implement.
Yes, that's right. I mean,
like, period. You know, and so I spend a lot of time on role playing. I spend a lot of time on drilling. I mean, it's how I built my offices. Like, for example, somebody would say, Coach Lala, what is mastery of the mind? And I would say mastery of the mind is a developmental program that focuses on human and emotional intelligence by teaching real life tools and skills. And they're like, wow, that sounds really good. I'm like, I know it sounds good because I said it. Now let me hear you say it.
Yeah, that's right.
And then that's they're great. Like, okay. So unless I get them to demonstrate that they, and this is not for the star athlete. Uh-huh. It's not.
Yeah.
It's for the development of self. And mm-hmm. I teach these kids in these classes, you number one, be nice to everybody, because you never know who you're going to be working for one day.
Yes.
Right. And then number two, when the non-star athlete, as an example, hits these points, their confidence meter goes vertical. Mm-hmm. And then they end up demonstrating, and then it just catches fire. Coaches love this too, because, you know, it's like when you have kids and you're driving around and 4 or 5 of the kids are sitting in the back seat of the car and they're talking and they don't realize you're in the front seat listening to every word that they say. So my coaches that I work with who are outstanding leaders, they come to all my classes and they just sit there and observe and they learn what's gone in these kids' brains, fears, doubts, anxieties, what's going on off the field. And it helps them because they don't have the time. Mm-hmm. They don't have the time to do this. So it helps them attach emotionally to their kids going, geez, I didn't know this was going on with Christine, or, and it's not their fault. It's just, it's overwhelming.
Yeah. Having context is so important, especially with young people, right?
And they're, this is high energy. You know, there's music playing when they walk in. You know, you got a picture. These kids get to school at 7 o'clock in the morning. So most of them are there to do some sort of physical training. The days of, you know, stop by for conditioning, they're over. Either you go or you don't.
So who picks your playlist? Because that's important, especially the walk-in music for kids.
Yeah, I got to be careful because I don't want a principal walking in there going, turn that off.
Right.
So I pick the playlist. Uh-huh. Now, nice. When I go in the weight room or when I go down to practice, because I always do that. When I'm done with a session, I'm done, but I don't leave. I go down, I watch them practice. I go to their games. I'm on the sideline. These kids are coming over and hugging me. I mean, that's what the emotional bridge is. Uh-huh. They're texting me when something goes right. They're texting me when you know, stuff hits the fan.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I become an extension of the leadership of the programs. And I also meet with coaches. You know, I coach the coaches. And I don't, again, I don't tell them what to do. But it becomes like a group therapy session on these things that come out of the coaches' brains. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, shoot, we just fixed five things. If we implement, we know we're going to win, not only individually, but collectively.
Yeah. And that, does that typically work? A group of the same coaches from one school come together so that they can talk about what's happening there? Or is it a mixed bag of just anyone who wants to come from the area?
No. I mean, it's with right now, Christine, it's with the schools I'm working with. Mm-hmm. They all have their own, you know, I mean, you know, it's like their program is their company.
Right.
So their program has a culture. Mm-hmm. Their program has, you know, some upsides and some opportunities. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about it. You know, and a lot of them, I mean, you were out. I mean, I've been in the business world for 35 years where the bullets are flying. And you're yesterday's news, even if you have a great year. It doesn't make any difference. So I bring a lot of that perspective into these, you know, people that have just grown up in the academic world. Mm-hmm. Because it is different.
Totally.
It is different. There is the ideal theory of what should happen and the reality of what happens. The point about, Joe, you made, life hands you a basket of goods, some of which will be good, some won't be, and it will be unexpected. So what you do with it every day is the big, you know, determinant of the choice benefit consequences formula that you mentioned. So with the young minds and the kids you work with, how long do they stay with you with the program? Is it multiple sessions? How is that structured?
And just while I'm thinking of it, Muge, we'll do a whole session on fantasy versus reality.
Mm. Yeah, I like that.
And for the grown-ups too.
Yeah, grown-ups too. And, you know, my husband and I talk about this too. We have two kids. They are now graduated from college or about to. And we did a lot of junior achievement type of things, you know, volunteered with kids' schools. And then, you know, a lot of kids, they're like, yeah, I will play an NBA. Or like, okay, that's good. Do you play basketball now? No. I think I'm just going to be discovered. I'm good. So kind of the mindset of good to have aspirations, but then having the plan B and C, like I want to be a model. Okay. What if that doesn't work out? What's plan B? So that fantasy versus reality, I think is a big one.
Yeah.
Agreed. And there's a lot of, like earlier, there's a lot of delusion on this. So
it's important for grownups too, because I just found out, and I've been married to my husband for almost 30 years. I thought that he would like to live in Italy, and he said, no. I was like, that is your fantasy. It was never mine. I like traveling there. I like to live there or like to visit, but I'm not living there. And you could go there by yourself, but I don't think you will.
See, it's fantasy versus reality. So
what surprised you most about, you know, working with, let's take both groups, you working with the adults and the kids. What surprises you most about those?
Well, the adult
two type groups.
And can we put some big ass quotes around adults? Because yes. I worked with adults for 35 years. Okay? Mm-hmm. With the kids, this is why I refer to Mastery of the Mind as a bridge curriculum, you know, bridging these life skills, bridging making the uncomfortable comfortable. But Christine, the further I get into this, the more dramatic I see that this bridge is. Mm. And it's not that they're not absorbing this. It's just not a focus of their development. Mm-hmm. When they're younger, it is. You know, there's a lot of, you know, SEL, social and emotional learning when they're younger, and a lot of money, billions of dollars are spent on curriculum like that. Mm-hmm. However, I do see this gap between their, all right, well, you know, internal growth is a tough business, but avoiding it is even tougher. Mm-hmm. And if you avoid this stuff, when you get out into the real world, you're going to lose a competitive edge. So how do we do that? Well, prepare you. Here's another example. Take that flipping phone and turn it into a moneymaker. Like, I'll walk into a team and I'll go, oh, by the way, Coach Mugay said this year that she's no longer going to videotape any of your practices or games. Okay? And the kids will be like, what are you, crazy? Like, how the hell are we supposed to know if we're getting any better? I'm like, oh, I'm just kidding. However, we went over public speaking last week. How many of you went home and videotaped yourself doing a public presentation? And what did you see? And show me. So there's that bridge of implementation where once they start to get confident, mm-hmm. then it's like sky's the limit. Mm. Another thing that these kids, what do they want to talk about most? They want to talk about money.
Bank. They want to talk about bank.
They want the bank, the bag, the bling.
Bags.
I mean, you name it. Uh-huh. So I'll walk in, I'll walk in to set up, and a couple kids will come in earlier, just to have some fun. I pay the first person who's in there, whoever wants to be my, quote, creative director. So Mugay, you walk in first. I'll say, you want to make some money? She's like, yeah. So I'll hand Mugay $20, and she'll put my phone on the tripod and film the session.
Oh, so, nice.
Right. So it starts to evolve, like Lala's paying. So
everybody show up early.
Well, you know what they're doing, Christine? They're leaving their seventh period class early. They're like, I'm out.
I love it.
And I got kids coming in going, I got to feed the family, Lala. And I give them $20. But fantasy versus reality. Hey guys, hey girls, what do you want to talk about? We want to talk about money. I go, great. Do you have a job? They go, no. I go, then what the hell are we talking about? I mean, well, how do I get a job? Good question. But now I got some of these kids mm-hmm. will play their games on a Friday night, get home at 11 p.m., and they're at Dunkin' Donuts at 6 a.m. the next morning, working from 6 to 2, mm-hmm. and then 7 to 2 on Sundays. And then we start showing them what's the difference between gross net, gross tax net, live, save. And if this person just opened up a Fidelity account, put it in an index fund, drop $1,500 in there, and save $50 a month, when they turn my age, they have $1.7 million, and I make that tangible. They're like, what? Meanwhile, the kid just took a business class and got an A. But he doesn't understand any of this. That's the bridge.
Mm. That's just amazing how, kids can be brilliant, but at the same time may not have the tools to be successful in real life because they lack the foundation. And I see colleges, they set up workshops to teach kids how to pay back their loans, and it's almost a little late in the game. Yeah. But the foundation is just so key, like the power of simple things when done consistently, how it sets you up for a trajectory of prosperity, really.
Right. Right. And I've worked with some, you define college, I'll define it by tuition. All right. High-end college and universities, $85,000, $90,000 a year to go. And I'm sitting in there, and these kids don't know the difference between simple and compound interest. They don't mm-hmm. know what asset allocation is. They don't know what taxes are. But they want to talk about financial literacy. Christine knows me, my my style is I love you and I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not afraid to confront you. You know, I'm not going to snowplow your problems out of your way. You know, because I'm just not going to do it. And respectfully, don't act like you haven't been coached. Like, don't act like you haven't gone through this. And please teach me how. I know football season's over. Teach me why you will choose to either A, get a job over winter break or not.
Yeah. I think, yeah.
It's a lesson in accountability, right?
Yeah, that's right. And then especially if you are in situations where perhaps your parents, your relatives have been solving problems for you, kind of coming out of that to function as an independent adult is a big thing. The other thing I'm curious is, especially when you work with, let's say, student athletes, you know, they are very driven by a singular goal of getting selected, going to college level or professional level sports, which may or may not happen. You may have injuries. It may not happen for a variety of reasons. How do you coach them to really adapt to that reality, to have the plan B and C? Because we see a lot of student athletes whose dreams could not be realized, and then they are totally like fish out of water.
Well, I mean, it's amazing. Recently, today's December 12th. On December 9th, we're specifically talking about football. The college football transfer portal opened.
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. So these kids are, what are these kids? They have a better deal mentality. I can go get a better deal. I'm out of here. I'm getting a better deal. Over 6,000 football players went into the transfer portal. 6,000 saying I'm out of here. They are not by far all happy endings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
So I am leaving Microsoft. Okay. Well, first of all, it's Microsoft. And second of all, where are you going? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Okay. So they think that it's going, you know, the grass is greener, but you still got to cut it. So they think that. And you say, Mugay, you said plan B and C. I'm not going to discourage a kid. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come close to the line. I'm being real.
Right.
Dude, you're right. Not playing mm-hmm. the NBA.
You're right. There's a fine line. There's a fine line.
So I don't call it plan B and C. I call it two plan A's.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
And I also think if you build the individual, right, we talked about building confidence. We talked about building those soft skills. If you have that foundation, then regardless of what happens, they'll be better equipped to take either path successfully, right?
Well, there was one school that they brought in all of the students into in the gymnasium, blah, 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 to do this whole presentation. And 11 kids from one of my teams that I work with at this school went up unsolicited. Now it's like, who wants to say something? They didn't pick and grabbed the microphone and rocked their presentation.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
All right. I got 4-star athletes that are going to Chick-fil-A that are dominating an interview and getting a job offer on the spot. They come back to class and they're getting carried around the class like they just won the damn Super Bowl.
I love it.
So I want to
shadow you one day. I want to shadow you and just hang out and just see all these things happen.
Too.
Yeah, let's do it.
You're a badass, Christine. I want you to speak.
Thank you.
I do. I mean, I that's a good point too, because I mean, I know a lot of people. I mm-hmm. bring people in from the community.
Right.
To talk. This guy owns 4 restaurants. This woman is a senior vice president. This gentleman owns an electric company. And we just drop the guard and they talk about it.
Love it.
Not the academic piece.
Right.
Because most of these millionaire business owners I know graduated with a 2.0. I mean, it's They didn't let school.
Well, it's almost preferred.
Yeah.
Because you are not stuck by the the box. So as we wind down, one thing, Joe, that is always the ongoing topic of our podcast is how did you manage the transition yourself, leaving your career behind, but at the same time being able to apply all that rich body of experience to the current coaching practice? What would you recommend to people who may be contemplating such transition?
Yeah, I that's a good question, because I'm working with coaches now that are like that. So number one, don't panic. Number two, there is going to be an adjustment period. I mean, how could it not be?
Right.
I'm out there for 35 years, maybe taking 2 weeks vacation, maybe with no off season. Mm-hmm. My self-evaluation was on how much money I made. My self-evaluation was on my ego on work, and that's all gone. It's like Ronald Reagan said, when did you realize that you weren't president? He said, when I got in the back seat of the car and nobody was driving. Like, it's different.
Yeah.
It's different. So, yes, go through. And sometimes, I've made a big transition in personal health. I'm working out more. I'm doing all those other things where, when you're in the middle of the arena and they're like, you really got to slow down, blah, blah, it doesn't even register.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's a danger for some people because they fall into depression.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have an answer to it. Like however, I recognize, don't personalize. I feel differently. Yeah, you're darn right. It's different. Your life is different now.
Mm-hmm.
So close it and then capitalize on it and then find something, which is what. I mean, I get such a charge out of this. Like when I go to do these sessions or when I'm on the phone with you, I mean, I'm like, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like what you said too about closing that chapter, because I think so many people look back and like in the transition, you're going to naturally look back. But if you can actually put a period on the end of that career, you're going to be more open and likely, more abundant in your thinking about what comes next.
Well, it's a trip because I'm a member of a country club, right? And, when I was running my office, making money, blah, 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 nobody cared. I mean, really. Now, when I walk into the pub, I hear, la, 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 what's going on? You talk about the kids. What's going on with the kids?
Like, yeah.
Because this without a question for me is a legacy move. Like, I want to leave a legacy with these kids.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be A students? No, but they're going to understand that somebody gives me $10, I don't get to keep it because I got to pay this ugly thing called a tax. Geez, I remember that.
Right. Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm always inspired. I walk away all fired up every time I talk to you, and the smile on your face says it all. So I'm just so excited that you're out there and making a difference with now not only young people but adults, in quotes.
Adults. Grown-ups, Christine, grown-ups.
or attempting to be grown-ups.
Yes. Well, yes.
It's gonna be fun. My website is MOTM for Master of the Mind USA.org. MOTMUSA.org. So if you want more information, if you would love to donate and support the journey, that would be greatly appreciated.
Excellent. Excellent. And we'll put that in our show notes. And also, I would also invite our listeners. I know we have quite a few in this area that would be able to perhaps even speak. So maybe drop you a line if they've got a story to tell, if they want to get more involved on the front line of this exciting opportunity to help young people master their minds.
Thank you, Mugay. Thank you, Christine.
All right. Have a great,
thank you,
great
Joe.
Day, everyone. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening. Our hope is to spark a little joy, inspire, and educate our listeners in ways to live an even more meaningful life. If you have reactions to share from what you've heard, please visit our website, refirement.life, to leave a voice message. You may even be featured in a future episode. To keep in touch, subscribe to our podcast, Refirement Life, using the podcast player of your choice. Always remember, you are never too old to set a new goal or to dream a new dream. Thanks again for joining us on this episode. Until next time.